Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty. Or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield, many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done.
Have I got you?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. And please forgive, I apologize for this delay. Stephen Jacobson is on again with us tonight. And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't hear anything. And it's because I had my headset plugged into my player because I was labeling tapes last week. And that was the hold up here, folks. I hope you're with us. Today is Monday. It is the 9th of March in the year 2005. Our spiritual message is a reminder here from Ephesians 10, beginning with verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And Stephen?
Yes, Jackie?
Thank you for being here again tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. Always my pleasure talking with you on the air and off the air.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, I had some lovely response messages from our listeners. And I know they're glad to hear you back tonight. You know what I'd like you to do, please, for me? Because when I sat down here, it looks to me, when I sat down here, I thought I had a tape in, and I don't. Would you give our listeners, folks, grab a pen, if you will, please. And would you give our listeners your contact information?
Yes.
Stephen, while I grab the tape and get it in, honey?
Sure.
And I'll be back. Thank you.
Okay. I have two audio cassettes available, three in fact, but the web address, the website was just recently completed. It is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com, mindcontrolinamerica.com, and the two educational audio cassettes. First one is Mind Control in America. It is a summary of the mind control issue. It describes and defines the principles, gives examples of the different techniques used, and places the whole issue into historical perspective. It is a full production with music and sound effects, and is meant to be listened to more than once. It is very tightly scripted, and there's a lot of information there. That was followed by the audio Wake Up America, which is also about mind control, but about the money system, using money as an illustration of the mind control issue. Psychological warfare and economic warfare work together. And the two audios, when ordered singly, are $15 each. When ordered as a set, the total is $25, including shipping. And the order information is on the website. You can order online with the credit card. Or if you don't have a computer, the order address, the mailing address is MCIA Media, the initials for Mind Control in America, MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem. It's two words hyphenated, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113. That's MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113. And my telephone number here in Winston-Salem is area code 336-723-6535. 336-723-6535.
And I'm back and I'm listening. And you know, your voice is so nice and clear tonight.
Well, that must be because I backed off from the phone a little.
It's wonderful. This is great. So tonight, last Wednesday night, we talked basically about the mind control and the methods of mind control. And there was a lot of emphasis. Basically, we just got into, at around the last 7 minutes of the broadcast, talking about the monetary system and the dual tapes that you have there, Mind Control in America, right?
That is correct.
Yes, and then Wake Up America. And tonight, you're going to give our listeners a taste of Wake Up America, yes?
That is correct.
Thank you.
But before I do that, let me just review a couple of principles of mind control as a preface before getting into the money issue.
Because they have to get us good in mind control. Oh, you said this last week that there's a connection.
Oh, most definitely.
And I said, well, I don't understand the connection. But they really have to get us good in mind controlled in order to get us to believe in a fictitious monetary
Absolutely.
System.
The money system is a grand illustration of mind control.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
I got it. Okay, you go, guy.
Now, there are two primary means by which people are manipulated. Their minds are manipulated by two fundamental ways. One is very basic and very simple. Is by controlling the information that people have access to. If we don't have all the information that we need on any given subject, then our understanding and our judgment is going to reflect the lack of information or the missing pieces of information. And although we live in the what's been dubbed the information age, where we have a glut of information and really are suffering from information overload.
Yeah.
There's just a constant flow of information, and it is difficult to be able to decipher it and to be selective insofar as what is of utmost importance. And when you have fewer and fewer major corporations that are controlling the quantity and quality of information that we have access to, that leads to a situation where there can be a coordination of propaganda.
Oh.
and which is a major problem today. It's been a major problem for a long time because the major media outlets have long worked in concert with one another. Give you an example. When you watch the network news, switch the channels quickly,
yep,
and you will see the same stories being covered often, and very often you will see the same content, same stories, even in the sequence in which the stories are given, sometimes are very similar.
And I'd like to add this to that, Stevenson. Stevenson? You know, I was thinking while I was talking, you know, when I said I'd like to add this to that, you know, Nixon used to say, let me say this about that. And that's what I was thinking of when I said that.
Well, but go right ahead.
Thank you. In our website, folks, sweetliberty.org, in the section titled Shadow Government, there's for more information on who controls America, who owns the media. It isn't just here in America either, because I received an excellent article on the same vein on the same control of the media in Europe, in the UK. But you know, most people subscribe to a newspaper. If they do, it's one. And what I have done is, you know, wanting to get headlines without having to buy all the newspapers, I get emailed to me the New York Times and the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Washington Post, and USA Today. And it's amazing. It's always the same stories. I mean, I just realized I don't need to get all these to, you know, I just want to check the headlines to see what they're saying about stuff. It's all the same thing in every single newspaper.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, well, you know, the motto of the New York Times, they say it's all the news that's fit to print. What they really mean is all the news that fits.
Yeah.
And here's something interesting that Thomas Jefferson had to say about newspapers and people who read them. He said, the man who never looks into a newspaper is better informed than he who reads them, inasmuch as he who knows nothing is nearer the truth than he whose mind is filled with falsehoods and errors.
Yeah.
End quote.
And this is far back as probably forever, but in Doug Reed's book, The Controversy of Zion, back in the 1700s, the same kind of control of the newspapers, of the print, was occurring at then.
Oh, gee, you know, we've probably, mankind has probably been suffering from this going back to when information was put on stone tablets.
Yep. Yes. By the controllers.
That's right. And that was the mass media of that time,
mm-hmm.
And the mass media of this of our time is simply using the ancient principles, the arts and sciences of hypnotic programming that the ancient priests knew about and employed to control the people in ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing new under the sun. The only thing that perhaps could be considered new is the technology,
yes,
that allows the implementation of these principles on such a massive scale, mm-hmm, to influence large numbers of people.
Right.
And so so that's one way of influencing people. Very basic is through the information that they have access to.
You're not getting close to your phone, are you, hon?
I'll try not to.
Okay, thank you.
And that also includes public education, because young minds are very important to ruling authorities. Control the youth, you control the future. And so education is also part of that control mechanism and controlling information.
Yep.
And then the second primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled mentally is by controlling their mental states. And in the case of media, that would be by inducing a hypnotic state of mind. Even not even it can also apply to education as well, and teachers talking in front of a large group of students in their classroom. The teacher is an authority figure. The teacher can speak in a cadence that is similar to the delivery of a hypnotist, and disseminate information in that manner. But it isn't this hypnotic.
Is that why you sometimes get so sleepy?
That's right.
When you, because I can remember particular classes and particular teachers where you'd get, trying to keep yourself awake was just misery.
And fighting that, people, when they are in that state of mind, it is that state of mind where we are the most receptive to mental programming and more highly suggestible than at any other time. And so the first order of business for a propagandist or an advertiser, they're basically the same, they use the same principles, is to create the conditions that will induce this state of mind. And then comes the repetition of the information over and over and over again in order to build a conditioned response so that we respond to the information automatically without thinking about it whenever it is presented to us. And in that sense, we get in a kind of a mental rut where hearing a piece of information one time, it puts a groove in the the plates of a memory bank.
The synapses.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a phonograph plate.
Mm-hmm.
The wax impression.
Mm-hmm.
One groove, one message. Repeat the message over and over again. The groove gets deeper and deeper, until it's
knee jerk.
It's a knee jerk response, and that is the whole purpose in propaganda. Is to induce that knee-jerk reaction. And I'd go as far as to say that is the goal of a lot that passes for public education as well.
I have a question, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Well, okay. Your mind control tape?
Yes.
You cover this in the tape. And my question, because I was thinking this, are wondering about it. People, I know that our listeners, you talk to people and they're so frustrated because they try to talk to their friends or their family and they're just not getting through. And I wonder, your tape on mind control, a person who is under mind control or under that brainwashing spell, so to speak, do you believe that if, let's say, somebody gave your tape to, or sat down and listened to it with, I guess, maybe, or gave it to a friend or somebody they're trying to reach, do you think that that tape could jar a person? I mean, they hear this and say, oh, my God.
It's meant to do exactly that.
Okay.
It's meant to perform that function and service of educating people to the many things that we are assaulted by.
Uh-huh.
Without being consciously aware of it.
Aware of it. Uh-huh.
Because most people aren't consciously aware of the things that affect them subconsciously until they are pointed out. And then and keeping in mind that there are examples given on the audio cassette, I use the techniques that I talk about as examples so that the listener has a reference point from which to have a deeper understanding of what is being discussed, and thereby that also is meant to encourage repeated listening.
Uh-huh.
Of the tape, and again, fulfilling the function of education is repetition.
Uh-huh.
So more listenings.
And you do have kind of a hypnotic voice, Stephen.
done intentionally in that context, on the tape, again, as an illustration, so that the entire presentation is meant to serve as an educational tool for,
mm-hmm.
for the listener, and also even when the listener is aware of the many things that are going on, very often we have trouble sharing our information, especially with family members or with friends and associates. And so this is a way of it's a tool to open up discussion and present the information.
Yes, that makes all the sense in the world. It gives us tools for, you know, it's been a long time since I've listened, and I've got them right up in a holder up here on the wall. I'm going to pull those babies out and listen to them again. It's been a while.
Well, then it's it'll be a refresher course.
Yes, it will, and it'll be a tool for me, won't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking briefly about education, and education of the young is meant to condition them to what's going to come later. In effect, eliminating the difference between propaganda and education, because propaganda cannot work effectively without education. The mind is conditioned with vast amounts of information that pose as facts and knowledge, which are dispensed for ulterior motives.
Say that again.
All right. The mind is conditioned with a vast amount of information posing as facts and knowledge dispensed for ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what that means is that the so-called educated and the quote-unquote the intellectuals are the most vulnerable to propaganda because they absorb the largest amounts of second-hand information and consider themselves to be above the effects of propaganda.
Especially, you know, the ones, the most know-it-alls, those with college education.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we have more PhDs walking around out here, and our country is going down the tube.
Yes. Yes.
And not only our country, but the entire world. So we have education. What education really is, it's learned ignorance.
Indoctrination.
Well, it's indoctrination, but it's learned ignorance.
Learned ignorance. May I read a paragraph to you,
to our listeners?
This is a statement by Bertrand Russell, humanist philosopher and UNESCO advisor. And, of course, UNESCO is referred to as the global school board, okay? Or something like that. He said it may be hoped that in time anybody will be able to persuade anybody of anything if he can catch the patient young and is provided by the state with money and equipment. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in control of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen. Pretty well sums it up, doesn't it, Stephen?
Sure does. Now, part of this education mind control really began in the early part of the 1900s, where there was a dramatic shift in emphasis in American education. The shift was from intellectual development to socialization. The goals of education became political and social rather than academic. And this was in large part due to John Dewey, who was a socialist, and his so-called progressive education, which was based, these educational reforms that were instituted as a result of Dewey were based on experimental psychology that was developed at Leipzig University by Wilhelm Wundt, who believed that man had no spirit. Professor Wundt believed that man was simply a stimulus response animal.
Oh, wow.
And so it led to that kind of thinking led to the principles of conditioning developed by Ivan Pavlov. Remember the dog salivating at the at hearing a bell.
And they do that in the schools.
Oh yes.
The instant gratification.
Yes.
You answer a question right, you get to go up and pick a piece of candy out of a box.
Sure.
You get rewarded. You know, Charlotte Isherby told us about this, and you see it now with the children. I mean, truly instant gratification. If it isn't there, it ain't worth bothering with.
It's based on these principles and
yep.
The work of the behavioral psychologists, John Watson, B.F. Skinner. Education has ulterior motives. Again, these reforms support the agenda of those people who are who sit at the helm of controlling all of society's institutions. Now, what allows for this control is the control of the money system. Because the money system, has become a weapon of control.
Yeah.
And if the money system is corrupt, then it means that everything else, all of society's institutions, are corrupted. And this is what allows for the control of society, because the money system is the lifeblood of a society. And if it is dishonest, then you get the kind of situation that we have today in this country and in the world. Because students in public school and in higher education are not taught true economics.
And is any money system other than barter, is there any real honest money system that wouldn't be controlled by somebody at the top who created it?
Yeah, you have to have...
You're too close again, honey.
You have to have... There are always going to be controllers. There's always going to be a ruling class. A ruling authority. All right,
you talk to our listeners. I have to go see what she's barking about.
Okay. Always going to have a ruling authority. That ruling authority has to have the best interests of society at heart for things to work properly. If they don't, then everything gets done for the selfish interests of that ruling authority. Every nation has its wealthy aristocracy that comprises its ruling class. And if that ruling class is not honorable and honest and looking and guiding society for the betterment of everyone in society, for the betterment of all mankind, then what you have is what we have today is a group of people who are simply looking to maintain their control and pass the reins of control to their children so that their children will rule over your children and everyone else's children. They do this to a great extent by their control over the money system. Now, if the American people truly understood the nature, the fraudulent nature of our money system, they wouldn't stand for it. They wouldn't allow it to continue for another day. The fact that it does continue is strong evidence that there is a great deal of confusion about money, finances, and how economics work, because we're not taught this information.
Did you hear the ding?
No, I didn't hear the ding.
50 seconds. Honey.
Okay. Just getting into control of the money system by this the ruling elite, which they amount to a ruling class. Every nation has it, and they're the problem. They're the political, economic, and social problem of our nation, of our time, is this ruling class that, in effect, they have formed an alliance among themselves. The ruling class families that control the banks, the major corporations, the most influential foundations, they are an alliance among themselves to control everyone else.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back, folks.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back with you folks. I think it is wonderful that Nicholas finally, we had talked about this. I know that there are many of you have asked me if I have tapes available of the broadcasts, and I do take these broadcasts, and with my time limitations here, I don't encourage it, and yet I want you to have access to it and to be able to get a whole month's worth of broadcast for $25. I think it's a real deal. I could not do that. And so therefore, for those of you who want to have tapes of the broadcast, they are now available on disc. I believe that Nicholas had said that he could make tapes if you must have an audio tape, but it would the price would be different, so you would have to check with him on that. I wasn't able to hear it myself as the volume was a little low, but anyway, I'm glad that now you'll be having access to this and know that you have access to these broadcasts for yourself and your friends. Stephen.
Yes,
folks, Stephen Jacobson, in case you may have tuned in late, Stephen Jacobson is our guest tonight. His name isn't Stevenson. And I wanted to let you know, too, on our website at sweetliberty.org, the book that is still there, still in progress, titled Jewish Persecution. Stephen was a guest in our home when Chuck was here, and he read the chapters, I think about 12 of them. In fact, it was a long, long article that became a book, and he helped me to separate them into sections. There'll be chapters, and Stephen graciously offered to write the introduction to the book. You'll find it on the main page at sweetliberty.org, and if you haven't read it, you really will want to read it. I know you will, folks, and I really appreciated it, Stephen. I just wanted to say that to our listeners on air, that it's your introduction that is there in the beginning pages of that book.
Well, I was happy to be able to do it, Jackie.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you offered. I wouldn't have presumed to ask you to do that. So, back to talking about the elite of all the countries, and this goes back from the beginning, doesn't it?
Well, they have long formed alliances, fought amongst themselves.
You're a little close there.
To determine who is going to be king of the hill.
Uh-huh.
But this plan for world domination has been in the works for centuries,
and they cooperate among themselves for that purpose, and they still fight amongst themselves.
According to the protocols, 2,500 to 3,000 years, Stephen, and probably before then.
Well, it's been going on for a long time, for sure.
Yeah.
But its modern version of the banking establishment, the banking families, joining forces.
Good.
And
the modern version. Thank you. That
right.
brings us up to today.
And that's really the origin of this globalism or globalization that see around us. And that's the real meaning of globalism, which is costing many Americans their jobs as work is outsourced to foreign countries. This is being done deliberately to weaken the infrastructure of America in order to facilitate its incorporation into the new world order that is being engineered by these ruling class families.
You know what Jacques Attali said? He wrote a book. Actually, the book was prefaced or introduced or whatever by Alvin Toffler. And he said it was titled The New Millennium, Winners and Losers in the New World Order, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He said that this world is going to be populated by boat people. In other words, people literally going from place to place looking for work, and literally referred to them as boat people, and that would be the major portion of the population. In other words, the haves will have it all, and the have-nots will be wandering around like boat people, just trying to make a dime.
Yes, it's the modern feudalism going back to the kind of system that they had in the Middle Ages, princes and paupers. This is a modern version of that, where the ruling elite control everything, have everything, and everyone else is disposable. And not only will there be people wandering in massive migrations, but there will be a relocation of large segments of the population to different places around the globe
the
road.
Well, like with workforce development.
Right.
If you are trained to be, let's say, a plumber, and there's no plumbing jobs in your area or your town or your state, you could not only be moved to another state within these United States, but move to another country where a plumber is needed. That's a rough and very crude example, but that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes. And referring to these people, these so-called our leaders, these are our leaders. Our leaders are nothing but thieves, cutthroats, and liars who parade themselves as respectable, honest, upright citizens. It's your banking establishment, the gentlemen, and I use that term that word loosely, who wear the pinstripe suits, who are the captains of society and the captains of the corporate world, and they're the ones who are at the helm of this. And there's a quotation on the Mind Control in America website that is very apropos to that situation. It is from a speech in the Roman Senate by Marcus Tullius Cicero. This was said in 42 BC, in which he says, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their garments, and he appeals to the baseness that it lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. a murderer is less to be feared.
That says it in a nutshell, doesn't it? Are you going to explain the actual system that we're under
today?
Yes. There are two
economic systems. There's barter. Barter is simply exchanging one thing of value for something else of value.
Yes.
Money in and of itself doesn't exist. Something has to be used as money, as a medium of exchange. And throughout history, many things have served that function. Livestock, spices, food, grain. But gold and silver were settled upon and used for thousands of years as a standard medium of exchange.
I'm not going to interrupt again after this, I don't think. But when you mentioned livestock being used as a medium of exchange,
yes,
in Will Durant's book, first book on, it's a whole series on civilization. Cattle, the word cattle,
mm-hmm.
which was, like you said, originally used. The word chattel came
mm-hmm.
from that,
mm-hmm.
and that turned into the word capital. And now we have human capital, like cattle.
Yes, well, that's how they look upon us as being that.
I know, and that's where the word capital
yes.
came from. Cattle, chattel, capital. Okay.
Yes, and interrupt whenever you like, because that's a good point.
I don't want you to lose your train of thought, though.
No, if I do, we can stumble together and get back to it.
Thank you, Stephen.
The essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. The use of the word federal and the name Federal Reserve is an example of that. The term Federal Reserve, or the name, the label, leads the public to believe that the Federal Reserve is a government institution. Contrary to this misleading use of language, though, the Fed is a private corporation owned by foreign and domestic banks and operated for profit. The name was chosen intentionally to mislead the public. If you stop the average person on the street, stop 10 people on the street, I think you would be hard-pressed to find one, or maybe you might find one if you were lucky, who would know that the Federal Reserve is not part of the U.S. government. It is no more part of the U.S. government than Federal Express or Federal Laundry. But the name was chosen as a deception to give that impression. Now, George Orwell called that newspeak, the redefining of words, where to simply mislead people. Another example of that, of newspeak and manipulating words and their meaning, which is really a key to controlling what people think, is the word dollar and the word money. Now, what's a dollar? Everyone...
We think we know, don't we?
We think we know. Most people think they know.
I know what a dollar is.
Money is very important to the hearts of many people. They work very hard for it. But if you think about it, you got to work harder today than you did 15 or 20 years ago just to stay in the same place or to try to make ends meet. There just doesn't seem to be enough of these dollars for people to have a decent life. It feels like for many people that you're on a treadmill and not getting any place, if not a treadmill, those little, what do you call those?
Yeah, those rat things.
The hamster.
Thing. Yeah, the hamster wheels.
The hamster wheel, right,
uh-huh.
The gerbil wheel.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that where things are costing more, you're not getting the value. The value is not stable. It fluctuates, and the reason it fluctuates is because of the dishonest nature of the money system. A dollar in actuality, is a unit of measurement. It's a unit of measurement for gold and silver coin. Now, what happened is that the paper currency used to be a claim for gold and silver coin. It was a money substitute. It was a warehouse receipt. We mentioned this towards the end on...
In other words, it used to say it's redeemable.
That is, yeah, money, yeah, I'll get into that, the contract that was on on our paper currency. It goes back to, the situation goes back to when in the Middle Ages, people would bring their valuables to the goldsmith to hold in his vault, and he'd issue a receipt. And which was a claim check for the gold or silver that was held in the vault. Over a period of time, people began exchanging these warehouse receipts, which were money substitutes, as if they were the real money, out of convenience, instead of having to carry the gold and silver, which was heavy. And the goldsmith, and they did this so long as they had faith and confidence in the goldsmiths so that they could reclaim their valuables being held in the vault. Now, the unscrupulous goldsmiths, and there were many of them, saw an opportunity here to issue more receipts than wealth held on deposit in the vault. And he'd use these receipts to buy things for himself or his mistress or wife or his family members. And by doing so, he was stealing from everybody in the community, stealing and diluting the value of all of the legitimate receipts that had been issued. Whatever number of additional...
I understand that, but I'm not... Okay, how does it dilute the value?
Well, the only way
value
can be maintained is there's got to be a one-to-one relationship between the receipt and the wealth being held on deposit.
Then is that like what inflation is all
That's
about?
That is what inflation is.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, that is both inflation and credit. They're both the same thing, inflation and credit. And that was created as a result of issuing receipts, fraudulent receipts for wealth that did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
The banking system, fractional reserve banking, is based on this exact process. That's what banking is all about. Now, our currency has gone through a number of changes. When the Federal Reserve came about, which was an attempt to take control over the money system of the country, and in fact, when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, the money system of this nation was taken over. We lost our nation in 1914 when the Federal Reserve Act was passed.
Okay, that wasn't 1913. December.
Was it 1913? It was 1913.
Okay, well, I do know that it was in December.
Right.
Right around when the majority of the U.S. Congress was
because
home on
Christmas vacation.
Break. And would you back off just a little bit off that phone, hon? Thank you. Okay, so you were talking about the Federal Reserve Act.
And most of the Congress was
abrogated.
Was absent because of the holiday, and it was rushed through. But that's when we lost our government because we lost control over the money system. It was placed in the hands.
Let's say that the U.S. Congress abrogated their constitutional duty.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But at one time, the Federal Reserve notes had a contract on it. That said that the note was redeemable in lawful money, which was defined as gold or silver coin, and was redeemable at the Federal Reserve or at the U.S. Treasury. So it meant that the piece of paper wasn't the money, it was a receipt for the money. The real money was the substance, gold and silver coin. In 1963, shortly after John F. Kennedy was assassinated, during that period of time when the attention of the nation was focused on that tragedy, the Federal Reserve began to switch the currency, taking out of circulation the currency that had the redemption clause on it and replacing it with currency notes without the clause. So that, in effect, overnight, by magic, a piece of paper that was a claim check for $20 of gold or silver coin became $20, period.
And pretty much, probably, he was killed because he had signed the executive order to begin printing the U.S. notes that were not part of the Federal Reserve System.
That is correct.
Because we have a couple of those here.
Yes, they were issued by, they were U.S. notes, no interest going to the
right.
Federal Reserve, and the business of banking is to collect interest, and that was his fatal error.
His demise, yeah.
And a major reason, or could be the major reason for his demise, was messing with the interest of the bankers.
Well, and the same with, what's his name, Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
With his greenbacks.
Yes.
Same thing.
Same thing, yes. You don't mess with the bankers.
Wow. Boy, talk about that, yeah.
And I've heard that since the Kennedy assassination that other presidents have shown film of the assassination from a different angle as a reminder of what had happened.
Is that right?
And, well, it could be just a joke,
yeah,
that circulates as an example and a reminder that you don't mess with the banking establishment,
yes,
and their sacred cow, this money-making machine of the Federal Reserve, where, in effect, the banks and the government get everything for nothing.
You know, one of the... part of the importance I can see of your Wake Up America tape, when Alan Watt was on with us at one time, we got into this conversation, and you know, I asked him kind of challengingly, well, what would your solution be? And he said, when enough people understand this system is going to collapse of itself.
Oh, yes. If the American people understood what has been done to them regarding their money, they wouldn't allow it to continue.
Yeah.
And all this information is laid out in step-by-step fashion in the Wake Up America audio. Again, it's a fully scripted audio presentation with music and sound effects make it interesting to listen to.
It's really more than interesting.
Well, it's jam-packed with information.
Oh, my goodness.
And again, it's meant to be listened to more than once because there's so much there. But I've had people tell me they've taken it to their bankers to listen to and asking, well, is this so? And they get this sheepish grin. And what can they say to the truth? The truth stands by itself, and they can't stand the light of truth because they have no defense for what they've done.
Yeah.
But the Wake Up America tape does give a complete rundown on what happened, how it happened, and how it worked.
It is a wake-up call, Stephen.
And it is a wake-up call.
Oh, boy, is it ever.
And while we're on that, mention the website is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com, mindcontrolinamerica.com. The two audios are Mind Control in America and Wake Up America, $15 each when ordered singly, $25 for the two tapes ordered as a set. That includes shipping. There's a printable order form on the website, or you can order using credit card. Or
they can call you and order.
Or they can call me at area code 336-723-6535. The mailing address to order it through the mail is MCIA Media. That's the initials for Mind Control in America, MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem. It's two words hyphenated, Winston, W-I-N-S-T-O-N, hyphen Salem, S-A-L-E-M, North Carolina, zip 27113. That's MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113.
And the website again is
mind, www.mindcontrolinamerica.com.
Yeah, and you know what? People who are on the Internet, just for your own knowing this, you can leave out the www dot because it's a given. And it's easier for people to remember mindcontrolinamerica.com. You can just, you don't even have to say that, honey.
And it's easier for me not to say it.
Yeah, okay, well then, yeah, I just wanted you to know that. In fact, when you're putting it in your address, if I would put mindcontrolinamerica.com, it throws the www up there.
Okay.
Automatically. Something else, folks, for those of you listening who have any radio stations in your area, I hope, Stephen, it's okay that I'm saying this.
Yes.
But you haven't been doing radio for a long, long time. And, folks, I want to give you his number again. If you have a radio talk show host that you would like to have Stephen on, then give him a call. Talk to your radio talk show host. Stephen's number is 336-723-6535. That's 336-723-6535. I've been bugging him, I guess, for the last 18 months. What are you going to come on the air? I might be going off the air. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to stay on the air. And I'm, Stephen, I am just, and I know our listeners are very, very appreciative of you and of your information, and this is such a relief that we got a chance to bring you on. Not that, you know, I'm at that point right now,
mm-hmm.
but we've gotten so far behind in our airtime bill. At times I think, I just have to give this up. I can't do this anymore. And I'm glad our listeners have had the opportunity to hear you. It's been a long time since you've done any radio interviews.
Yes, well, as you know, I was have been involved in research for the next presentation.
Yes.
And I still have a lot to do on that, but a good deal of the research has been done, and it's a matter of putting the material together and yes. doing the writing for that next presentation. And so I wanted to
roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.